الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك من زانت به العسر. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل فيها مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين. Honorable Ulama, respected elders, brothers, honorable and respected youth in Islam, we have come to a period of the year, the December period, which is what we refer to as the holiday time. And it is a time when obviously people are off from work, from studies, from university, from school. And generally people will use this time to travel, go for a holiday. And then you also hear, I'm sure the audience sitting here would have heard this many times before, where the ulama will remind us, will warn us of the places that you go to, the things that happen during this period of the year, the places that you visit. So they are reminding us of our akhlaq, our a'mal. You need to protect your akhlaq, your a'mal. Don't think that, well, it is a time now that we are free and we've got no responsibility. Let's have a relaxation. Let's have a time of luxury and comfort. And in the process, you start doing things that are contrary to Sharia. So our seniors and our ulama have always reminded us of this. But there's one other reminder that I would like to make here today, inshallah, in front of our brothers and especially our youngsters that are sitting here. You might seldom hear of this being reminded. It is the importance also during this time of the year when you travel and you meet different types of people, the importance of safeguarding your aqidah. Safeguarding your aqidah. Because many times when you meet people and you are not cautious and careful of your aqidah, you get swayed by the things that people speak. If you're not grounded in aqidah, you don't know your aqidah, you meet a person, and I can tell you today, there are people that are very glib with the tongue. And they will speak in such a way, even if they're saying the wrong thing, you start believing them. And with the result, you get caught up in the aqidah that this man is spreading, without even realizing it. So this is the important warning that I would like to sound to our brothers and especially our youth, that you mix up with people and don't think, some of us might say that, look, if I meet a person for a few minutes and a man tells me something, what difference can that make to my aqidah? You'll be surprised that just one thing a person puts into your ear and it lingers in your mind, and for months thereafter, that mind plays with that thought and you start believing what you have heard. Even our a'mal, even our akhlaq can be corrupted in a few minutes. Like some years ago in Port Elizabeth in the madrasa, we discovered that a student of HIBS was taking drugs. So obviously we had to now address the matter. We did some investigation. When we discovered, when we found out, this incident happened maybe middle of the year. But the start of this evil, it was in December the previous year. Some visitors came from another center to Port Elizabeth. They went to the beach. They had some fun. And in that fun, there was also the haram element where the drugs were passed around. And for the first time in his life, that little youngster took that drug. And he became hooked onto it for the next few months. It just took a few minutes. That actual, they were playing on the beach and doing whatever, swimming. But the actual haram was just a few minutes. So don't underestimate the effect of this haram. And worse still is the effect of a false aqidah, a false belief. And this is why I recited the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll just maybe do some analysis of the hadith. It's very important. And then you'll understand what I'm saying. This hadith sharif that I recited is mentioned in Bukhari, in Muslim sharif, all these famous kitabs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us of fitna. And he said that, badiru bil a'mali fitanan. The word fitan is plural of fitna. Now in English we say fitnas, but the Arabic plural is fitan and the singular is fitna. What is the meaning of fitna? The ulama have given about 12 different meanings. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his interpretation of this hadith, he mentioned about 12 different types of fitna. We won't go through all. But one type of fitna that he mentions is the evil, the fitna that strikes your aqidah, your beliefs. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that badiru, that means you must make haste. You must make haste, bil a'mali with a'mal fitanan, before such fitnas arise, which will be like kaqita' al-layl al-mudlim, like the darkest hours of the night. Like the darkest part of the night, al-layl al-mudlim, a very dark night. Now if you look at this, there's a unique comparison that Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam drew between this and the night. He says that the fitna will be like the darkest part of the night. Now what happens when night falls? You have Maghrib. In Islam, our night is at sunset. So it's still a bit light. You have twilight. You can still see things. Then gradually it gets darker and darker and darker until you reach one portion of the night, the middle of the night, where it is pitch dark. And if you, they say that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Ask those people that lived in India. And when we lived in Jalalabad, here we have load shedding. Alhamdulillah, we have load shedding for about 2 hours. There you have load shedding for about 24 hours. Sometimes for a whole day you don't get lights. And there are no, it's not like here where you have street lights and you have lights maybe in the nearby village. One whole area will be shut off with lights. Total power outage. Now you walk in the dark there, you can't really, it's so dark, you can't see your hand in front of your face. There you really appreciate the meaning of this hadith. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws a comparison that the same way these fitnas will strike this world, it will come into our communities, our societies, gradually. It will first be lighter, then it will get worse and worse and progressively worse until it reaches the peak, let's say the peak of that fitna, which will be total darkness and zulmat. And that is obviously the time when our iman will be totally surrounded by this fitna. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us that the way to safeguard ourselves from these fitnas is a'mal. Badiru bil a'mal. And there's no other way, dear brothers, it is a'mal. But now let's just go further to try and tie this hadith up with what I mentioned at the start. How serious will these fitnas be? It will be so bad that يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A man will wake up in the morning as a mu'min. Mu'min means a person with iman, a believer. He'll wake up with iman, وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. By nightfall, that man will be a kafir. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا And he'll go to bed at night as a mu'min, with iman. By the morning when he wakes up and he comes out of his house or wherever, يُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا He would have lost his iman. So severe is the fitna. I don't think there's anything that can bring about such a serious situation in our iman than what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that overnight you can lose your iman. Now understand this, it doesn't mean a person goes to bed, he sleeps and he wakes up and he's a kafir. What it means is that when a person wakes up, he would have woken up with a certain set or certain belief, a certain set of beliefs or a certain mindset, and already the seed of kufr would have been planted in his heart. He won't become a kafir straight away, but he's onto the road of kufr. He's already on the road of kufr. And that is why Allah save us today, our Shaykh Yusuf always say that today, forget about our a'mal, our iman is in danger. The fitnas are so severe today that our iman is being threatened. And he used to say, Allah save us, Allah protect us, that when a person becomes a murtad, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Again I say, Allah protect our iman. We don't know what will be our condition when we leave this dunya. But when a person becomes a murtad, then it's not that that person became a murtad just overnight. The seed of kufr would have been planted in his heart many, many years ago. He was already onto that path. It was destined for that person to take the road of kufr. And eventually, it is just one moment in his life that pushes him over the edge. But he was onto that path. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi quotes this ayat. He gives the example of shaitan. And I know I'm just saying what Hazrat said, that we speak about shaitan, we speak about how 80,000 years he made ibadat, and he lost all that, just 1 minute of disobedience unto Allah. But we speak about it not gloatingly. We're not gloating or boasting. Ya Allah, we ourselves have this fear that what would happen to our iman. Imagine 80,000 years of ibadat and it got washed away within a few seconds. So Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ There's two ways you can translate this. The one is kana, is a fen naqis, those who know Arabic will understand this. It's a verb, so it means that he became among the kafirin. And the other meaning here is, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ That he was already among the kafirin. It was only that one moment which became apparent, which made his kufr apparent. It exposed his kufr. A person is a munafiq, and for years he is a munafiq. But there comes a time when his nifaq, his hypocrisy is exposed. So that is what happened here, that when Allah said that usjudu li Adam, make sujood for Adam, he refused, aba wastakbar, and he committed the serious act of takabbur in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that was the moment when his kufr and his hypocrisy and all his evil was exposed. Allah Ta'ala save us again. We make dua, Allah Ta'ala give us strong iman and keep our iman with us till the last. So, this is what the Hadith Sharif means, that a person will go to bed at night, wake up, and is already on the path of kufr. And a time will come in his life when that kufr is exposed. Now, how would this happen? We again look at one of the statements of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh. He wrote about this when he explained this hadith, and he says himself that I studied this hadith and I gave it very hard and long thought. How would this happen that a person becomes, through this fitna, he wakes up in the morning as a mu'min and goes to bed at night as a kafir. How can this happen? Now remember, before I go further, these awliya Allah, these ulama, they always, Allah Ta'ala gifted them with that foresight, with the deep understanding of deen, because of their taqwa, their iman, because of their special and strong ruhaniyat, they could read into the hadith which people like us won't be able to read. We just read the surface, we just read the words. They could understand the in-depth meaning of the Mubarak words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi says that in my mind, what came to my mind is, there's only one way that this can happen. It is through evil company. through evil sohbet. When a person associates with the wrong company, he gets influenced by the things that are said to him, and eventually he takes up those false aqidas and beliefs, and with the result he loses his iman. He gets put onto that path of kufr, of nifaq, of hypocrisy, of shirk, and he loses his iman. So what I'm saying is, this hadith sharif proves to us that wherever we go, there's always some threat to our iman. And especially these times when your guard is down. Let's put it like that, a person is relaxed, your guard is down. When you go out away from home, and this is another important thing which I also heard from Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah grant him high stages in Jannat. He used to always say that, you notice people, when they are at home, they got a different attitude, a different way of conducting their lives. And the moment they are on safar, the moment they travel, they change a little bit. Now we understand that you have to have some changes. You make 2 rakats salah instead of 4. You can make masa 3 days on your moza. You don't need to fast. So from a Sharia point of view, there are certain changes. But what he means here is that your behavior changes. The things you won't do at home, you'll do it on a safar, on a journey. The places you won't go at home in your hometown, you will go on a journey. So that is something that we need to just take note of. There are times when, I'll just tell you one thing, and I want people to understand this. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah used to tell us when we were studying, he used to tell us that you students, when you're living in the madrasa, we're living there, so that was like our hometown, because we were muqim, staying there for a few years. Now you go on a journey. Now I would like our people to apply this particular advice which he gave. He says that in your hometown, you have a place to stay, you got your house, you got your room to stay, your house, you got all the facilities. Why is there a need for you in your hometown to go to eat at restaurants and at takeaways and food outlets? What need is there for this? Because it comes in the hadith, and Hazrat used to quote the hadith. When Hazrat quoted that hadith, I hadn't seen it anywhere. But Allah's further later on, we always had this attitude when our seniors used to tell us something, we accept it, we don't question it. And with the result, later on, we come across all these rulings in the kitabs, we find the hadith. So there is a hadith that is mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Imam Tabarani Rahimahullah, and I think one or two other Imams narrated this hadith, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam discouraged people from eating from the food that is sold in the marketplaces. In our terms, food that is served in restaurants, we don't say it is haram if you have proper certification and proper standards. The food will be halal per se, the meat, the chicken. But what we're saying is that there is a different type of ruhaniyat. It affects your spiritual life when you go to these restaurants. So Hazrat Yusuf discourages. Yes, he says, when you're on a journey, you got no option. You have to eat. You got no food with you. You are forced to go to a restaurant and to go to any of these places. So that's a different matter. But at the same time, agree that you are out away from home, but certain principles must be maintained. Your ibadat, your a'mal, protection of the eyes, there's no scope there. There's no concession made there that you can look at women outside the home when you're on a journey and you don't do it at home. So certain akhlaq must be maintained whether you're on a journey or whether you are at home. So this is something we must keep in mind. But on the other point, I was saying that when you're out away from home, your guard is down, you're relaxed, you tend to get caught up in discussions with people, and people that can speak so eloquently, so glibly, they can speak so logically, that if your aqidah is not right, then, or you're not grounded in aqidah, you don't know your aqidah, then you get caught and you get hoodwinked by these people. So this is very important. And even brothers, today it's so sad, I'm speaking in general terms, even our masjids, even this mimbar here, even your mimbar is not safe. You go to certain places, and I've heard it from people, in South Africa, I don't know about other places, well, just about a few months ago, one of our friends, one of our students, in the maktab. He was a student in the maktab. Then he went to work somewhere in another country. Then he keeps on sending me messages on WhatsApp, what he hears in the masjid. This imam spoke this, and this is how they do this, and this is how they do that. Then he met another person, and this man said that. So even your masjids today, you go in a masjid, there's a speaker there, you don't know the person, he might say things that will not be in conformity to the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So imagine now, even your masjids are not safe. And this is a bigger danger. You know, if you meet an ordinary person, and you still doubt what he says, you can go to an alim and confirm. But you meet a person who you believe is learned, and you feel this man looks like a very pious person, and he seems a senior person, and he's saying this, you yourself are in doubt now that is this man saying the right thing? And that is how people become totally confused with the aqidah. I'll mention one hadith. This will prove to you exactly what I'm saying. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us of all these fitnas, then he mentioned, he says that يَقُونُ بَعْدِي أَئِمَّةٌ يَكُونُ بَعْدِي أَئِمَّةٌ. He says, there will be after me leaders. Now, the word a'imma is plural of imam. So what's an imam? The person who leads your salah is an imam. The leader of a country, they call him imam. The leader of a community. So it's a general meaning. So he says, there will be imams after me, leaders. لَا يَسْتَنُّونَ بِسُنَّتِي وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهُدَايَ. This is the... It's a sign how you recognize these people. They will not follow my sunnat. They will neither follow my sunnat, nor will they take my hidayat and my guidance. So they won't have the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they won't have the hidayat, the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Quran. The guidance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran, and then his sunnah. So they won't be following these two fountainheads and cornerstones of Sharia. But what will happen? يَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالٌ. Among these a'imma, among these leaders, there will be such people that قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فِي جِثْمَانِ إِنْسِ. They will have the hearts of shaitans in the bodies of human beings. Now what does this hadith sharif mean? It means that these leaders, these a'imma, will be misleading people. And that is why I said that this is the biggest danger. And nowadays, if you go, I can actually name places for you, dear brothers. If you go in South Africa and you ask yourself that this community is so corrupt, their aqidah is so wrong, their beliefs are so misguided, and you ask yourself why, then you can pinpoint one reason is that the leaders in that particular area, the leaders, the imams, the people who are supposed to lead them, have not done justice to their communities. They are maybe good people in terms of akhlaq and character. They're good people, they're very friendly people, but they're not giving off the correct aqidah to their people. They're not teaching the correct things. And when it comes to certain issues, they will, instead of being straightforward and being upfront with their communities, they will rather sidestep certain issues. They will maybe interpret things in a wrong way. And the end result is that their communities get a totally wrong concept of the aqidah of Islam. So this is another danger that the leaders in communities can mislead people. Therefore, dear brothers, what I'm saying is that in these times, whether it is this December period, whether it is any time of the year, but especially now when we travel around, when we meet different types of people. Today people travel all over the world. The world is so small today in the course of their business, in the course of maybe just for a holiday. You travel to so many different countries and you will notice that the things you hear, people you meet, things that are said, types of practices that you see people doing, it brings about so much confusion in your mind with regards to your aqidah. The only way is for you to be grounded in aqidah and get that aqidah from the correct sources. Inshallah, if you do that, if you got strong aqidah, you'll never be hoodwinked. Now, many a time, something becomes so appealing to you. In the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, there was one false sect. They were known as the Khawarij. They were the people that opposed Hazrat Ali. You had two groups. One is the Shia. They were the people that supposedly, ostensibly, they claim to support Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And then you had the Khawarij, who were people that opposed Hazrat Ali. So when these Khawarij were facing him in the battlefield, what they did, they took a copy of the Quran al-Kareem and they stuck it on the spear, on the edge of a spear. And one of the leaders among them went in front in the battlefield and he held that thing aloft so that the whole entire army of Hazrat Ali could see this. And they shouted it, they say, "Hada kitabullahi yahkumu baynana wa baynakum." This is the book of Allah, it will decide between you and us. The book of Allah, that will decide between us. They shouted to the forces of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So someone ran back to Hazrat Ali and said that this is what they are saying. So now, if it was you and I, we would have no answer for them. Because what? How can you argue with this? A man brings the Quran in front of you and he says, "Look, this is the Quran. The Quran must decide." So what argument can you have against it? You can't say no. Because it is through the Quran. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, "Yahkumu baynana wa baynakum." The book of Allah will decide. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Allah gave him, again I say that these great awliya Allah, that ruhaniyat, that spiritual foresight, that deep understanding of deen. The moment Hazrat Ali heard this, he made the statement, he says, "Kalimatu haqqin yuradu bihal batil." It is a true statement. Undoubtedly, the Quran will decide between us, but their maqsad, their objective is false. It is batil. They are using that statement to mislead you. Now this is what I mean when I said that if we are not grounded in aqidah, you know, these people will come out with such flowery arguments, such attractive language and speeches that you won't have any answer to them. With the result, you just go along with what they are saying. You meet some people, just recently I was told that a certain sect here in South Africa, someone couldn't understand this, that these people got so good akhlaq. I went to this particular person, and he met me with such warmth. He gave me such a warm welcome. He went to this extent of placing at my disposal even money. As much money as you need, I'll help you. He gave him a car. He gave him a house to stay. Whatever you need, you ask me and I will assist you. So this person couldn't believe that you said this about this man. This is his aqidah. But look at his akhlaq. So then I had to explain that, you know what they are doing. They are using the good akhlaq, which we are supposed to use, for their false purpose. So again, it is a kalimatu haqqin yuradu bihal batil. The method is correct. The method is beautiful. But the object, the end result is evil. They are using a good method to entice you and lure you towards false beliefs and aqidah. So brothers, the only way we can safeguard ourselves, and we must take this message to our sisters also, it is to fortify your aqidah from the correct channels, from the correct ulama, authentic ulama, even today on the internet. That's another. So today we can say that even the four corners of your house, even the four walls of your room is not safe for you, dear brothers. When you go onto the internet, you see so many websites with all this information, Islamic websites, and you read all these things and they sound so beautiful and they are so attractive, but you are not sure whether I'm learning and whether I'm receiving the correct knowledge, the correct information or not. So the only way is, again I say, that we need to grab hold of an alim, an authentic alim, a person who is grounded himself in that ruhaniyat, in that aqidah, and you learn your aqidah. Once your aqidah is strong, like Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadurrukum man dalla idha ihtadaytum." O people of iman, alaykum anfusakum, take hold, take control of yourselves. In other words, make yourself strong in deen. Fortify yourself, consolidate your iman and your aqidah. Then la yadurrukum man dalla, those who have gone astray shall not be able to harm you in the least. Idha ihtadaytum, when you have obtained hidayat. So that is, it comes down to the same thing, that just like when we mix with the wrong people, when our association is wrong, then we are misled. By the same token, if our company is good, if our association is correct, then inshallah we fortify our iman. And again I repeat what I said right at the start, that we are living in an era that our very iman is in jeopardy. Our iman is at stake. And even our Hazrat used to say many, many years ago, that if a person can leave this dunya with iman and a little bit of taqwa, then that person has gained success. He has gained success in the akhirat when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is our ultimate aim, dear brothers. We make dua that Allah ta'ala gives us that strength of iman, gives us that grounding in aqidah. Allah ta'ala makes our akhlaq stronger. And may Allah ta'ala guide us to link ourselves up with the authentic sources from which we can get our deen and our akhlaq and our aqidah. Ameen thumma ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.